you've got to stop smoking, then you would want to know that, right? All right, a couple people do. The rest of you who are smoking, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But if you were that, you would want to know that because you would want the doctor to be honest with you and explain to you the dangers and ultimately what's good for you, right? Yes. In Central Georgia, this means yes. Or amen. You can even say that. Or go dogs. Some of that I know you won't say, but that's okay. So you would want to know that little bit of information because it would help you. So that's what we're dealing with this series on finance and money and possessions. And we're going to go through it this week and a couple more weeks. And it's interesting that we were singing that last song because the passage of scripture that I was looking at this morning for the lead into the offering was actually 2 Corinthians 8:7. And you don't have to turn there, but let me just read it to you. And it says, but since you excel, and that's not the word program, that means to be generous, okay? But since you excel in everything, and then Paul goes on and he writes, he says, in faith and in speech and in knowledge and in complete earnestness and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Did you know that there's grace in giving? So we're breathing. How's it go, Ben? We're breathing in which one? Breathing out our praise or your praise? In grace, out praise. Yeah, I'll get it right eventually. So it doesn't matter if I get it right. It's always right, right? So Paul is telling the Corinthian church, you excel in love and you excel in speech and earnestness and just you're actually that word excel in the original language, it means overflow. So it's like they're overflowing in speech and in love. Have you ever met some people like that? They just overflow in love. Some of you guys are that way. Not all of you. I probably shouldn't have said that quite so matter-of-factly. It's okay. I don't. I'm just being honest, right? I want to. But Paul is writing. He says, you overflow in faith and in speech and in love. And he also says, I want you to overflow in this grace of giving. So that with that frame of reference, I just wanted to share that with you this morning and encourage you and thank you, Mountain Gap, for your generosity week in and week out. And thank you for your response last week. I put out there that there was a benevolence need and you responded generously. There still is a little bit of a need. If you weren't here and you weren't able to give to that, then just be aware of that. And thank you. I just want to say thank you. Let me say it again, because some of you weren't here last week. I'm not preaching on finances because we need it. Okay? God owns it all, and Jesus said, I'll build my church, so I trust him. And I know that really is kind of cookies on the bottom shelf thinking, but that's kind of where I'm at right now. And that's where I think we need to be. So it's called faith, and that's just what I want to walk in. Let me have the ushers come forward at this time. You gentlemen that are serving this week to receive the offering, thank you for stepping up and serving. You know what? I caught a glimpse just as I was greeting you this morning, and I was walking back to my seat, and y'all had already seen it, and nobody alerted me. But there was a slide up that said, Welcome to Mountain Gap, Flood Edition. Did anybody else see that? It's been saying that?
Ever since we've been in here.
Did you know that? I didn't either. Okay, Austin and I didn't know that, so we're good. I just better pray now because, wow. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give. And Lord, in our giving, we're simply emulating or reflecting what we see in you. And that is the fact that you give. And so, Father, we want to do so this morning with joy, with cheerful hearts, as Scripture says. And Lord, also with just the understanding that this is an act of obedience, but it's also worship. Lord, we don't have to come to church. We get to come to church. We don't have to give. We get to give. And Lord, I thank you that you have blessed Mountain Gap, and Lord, you've blessed the people. And Lord, we ask you to use these finances, Lord, to really advance your kingdom. We want to see lives changed and needs met. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, guys. Thank you. I'll get out of your way. While they are giving, I want to ask David to come up. I called you by the right name that time, sir. Just so you know, David, I am not the only person that calls you Dennis now. I think I am the person that started calling you Dennis. Right.
Yours is recorded.
Mine is recorded. I'm on the record. That is very true. And David Dennison, otherwise known as Dennis when I'm not thinking and I'm just preaching. If you hear me say Dennis, I'm referring to this guy. Okay? It happens sometimes. Kind of like I didn't know the PowerPoint slide said that for 5 weeks. David is going to share or have some youth share some testimonies this morning.
I just want to say on behalf of the youth. Oh, yeah, it's working. But we just want to say thank you for praying for us when we were going to Accelerant. Give yourself a hand clap because God really moved in Accelerant and touched a lot of our youth. And it comes from y'all praying. And not only praying, but we were praying in unity for the same things to happen. And they happened. And not just in our youth, but a lot of youth that were up there. And thank you for that. I'm standing in for Steve today. He's working. And so I just want to share a couple of things real quick with y'all, and then I'm going to let a couple of the youth testify. We're all going to come up together. That was the only way I could get one of them to testify. We're really both of them, but whatever it takes, you know what I mean? So the first thing is we just think it's good for them to testify when God moves in their life out loud. And we think that you should share that with others. Okay, so that's the reason, one of the reasons they're doing this. The other reason is this, and I love this reason, is that any time in the Old Testament when they had an altar-changing moment in their life, what did they do? They built an altar. And why? So they would not forget what God did and how God met them at that point. So this is what we're doing. We're letting them testify, and we're letting them remember how God touched them and where he touched them. So that it's an altar-changing moment and that in their mind and in their heart and in y'all's hearts, they can build an altar and always remember, God met me at this point, at this time. Okay? So I'm going to bring on all of you come up here. And Nate and Clara are going to share with us. And every one of them could share something.
Well, last weekend, all of us went to Accelerant, and I think all of us were able to get some really good out of it, and all of us got closer to God. But I got many things from it, but the biggest thing I was able to get was I learned how to worship with God. I learned that you got to have just a clean slate to be able to get closer to God. Otherwise, there's that sin, and you and God can't connect if you have that sin. But the first morning, they had the worship service, and I was worshiping, and I raised my hands, I sang, and, you know, I got into it, but I really wasn't into it. I really just wasn't connected. And then they had the speaker come up. I think it was Amy Lampert. Was that Amy Lampert? Yeah. Anyways, but she spoke, and, you know, what she said just related so directly to me. And so I went down to the altar, and I just poured my heart out to God. And I just really got close with him in that moment. And just from then on, the rest of the weekend, I was able to worship, and I was able to just really get closer with my walk with God. So.
Well, first off, Accelerant was wonderful, and the worship services were very powerful. And I learned that I've had trouble just raising my hands. It's been, you know, I've always been timid, but at Accelerant, I learned that you don't need Carrie Job leading the worship service, and you don't need everyone around you raising their hands to do it yourself.
Thank you. Guys, give them a hand because it was really hard for them to get up here and do this and testify. Thank y'all so much. And as we leave, I'm going to leave this word with you. On the last day, this is something that resonated with me, and I'm going to share it real quick, is that the guy speaking challenged us with this. He said, you can go around being bored or you can go around being scared. Which one of them are you going to do? For me, I'm going to try to go around being scared because at least I'm moving in the Lord in the way that He wants me to move. But if you're being bored, it ain't happening. All right, thanks.
Amen, amen. Would you give them a hand? Hallelujah. Hey, Kids Church, you guys stand up. Kids Church, we're going to dismiss you. Would you stand right where you are? We want to say a quick prayer for you. And moms and dads and aunts and uncles and friends, would you just stretch your hands out toward one of these children that's near you and let's thank the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that today this is going to be a meaningful day, that they are going to encounter the gospel, the good news, and that their lives will be forever changed. Father, we thank you for all of the workers, Lord. Let your anointing rest heavily upon them, Lord, to influence them, Lord, for the gospel's sake, for the kingdom's sake, in the name of Jesus. We bless them now. We bless them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You guys are dismissed. Give them a hand. Let me make a couple of more announcements, and then I'm going to have Tyler come up in just a moment. Tyler, if you want to head this way, you'll be close, kind of on deck. Let me make a few announcements. First of all, let me give you an update on the building. Here you go, sir. You can be warming up with your preacher voice there if you need to. Let me give you an update on the building. We should begin painting this week. Drywall is finished, and a good bit of the trim molding, I think that's what you call it, is finished. I'm not a construction guy, y'all. The paint is purchased, and the carpet is hopefully going to be here soon. As I mentioned last week, we are going to go ahead and freshen up the lobby with some new colors and some new furniture. So that's in the process as we go. And let me just go ahead and talk about the sound booth, because there's been a little bit of comment about the sound booth, and interestingly enough, none of it has come directly to me, so I just figured, well, let's talk about the sound booth. We needed more space in our sound booth area, and there were some reasons why it is the size that it is. A lot of it has to do with aesthetics, particularly the backs of the pews, and when you're standing there looking at the back of the pew and the magazine or the hymnal racks that are there. So it's going to be a small thing for a couple of months, but we'll get over it. Yes, Rick. Wait, well, you know what? I mean, after a couple of weeks, it's just going to be like, oh, I don't even remember. It's different, but yeah. But in case you didn't know, the original board that was in the original booth is actually the one we're using back there right now. And so that board is a lot smaller, and in a trade that happened between the church and the conference, which I was on the conference board at the time, the church actually ended up in the better end of the deal because the church got a larger board with a lot more capability, but it was a larger board. So that board was hanging over the edge, and frankly, we just needed more room. Personally, and I'm just going to tell you one of my pet peeves since I've been your pastor, and maybe you have it as well, I don't know. But I've always kind of not liked the wireless units up on top aesthetically. And so I told the guys, I was like, you know, we'll increase this, but you got to bring those down. They got to get hidden so that it's a part of the surface area there. So those are some things that are changing. Praise God. Change is good, right? It can be. Actually, change is good, and most people don't mind change. They don't like transition. That's what I found. Transition is always the hard part. It's the getting there that's always the hard. You've been up 19 North going through Griffin recently? I mean, you're transitioned all over the place with the way they're doing road construction, right? And it changes from week to week. So the change is going to be good when they finally get those four lanes or whatever of traffic that are going to be moving north and south. But the transition part right now really kind of stinks. So anyways, that's a little bit of an update. My hope is we will be in there by the end of this month, the first of next month. Probably the first Sunday of next month is what my hope is. We will probably be announcing a work day. We'll need to empty chairs out of here and get this reset. And we'll do some work over there as well. A couple more announcements real quick, then I'll give it to Tyler. Reimagine Thomaston, let me thank you. I think we have about 25 people signed up. Still could probably use a couple more if you haven't signed up for that outreach event on March the 15th from 11 to 2. It's an outreach in Thomaston. Excited about that. For the senior adults, on the very same day, March the 15th, from, is it 11 to 2, Stacy, or 10 to 2? 10 to 3. Okay, it's 10 to 3 for Reimagine Thomaston. It's 11 to 2 for the Senior Spring Sing here at Mountain Gap Church. And this is senior adults coming from all over the state to be with us in our sanctuary. There will, I don't know who the musicians are, but they're bringing in some musicians to lead us in some singing. We're going to sing a lot of the great old hymns. It's going to be a great day. I'm going to be there for a portion of it to start, and then I'm going to scoot over to Thomaston, and then I'm going to come back because I need to be in two places at once. So I'll make that happen some way. We heard from the youth. Want to mention the Encounter Weekend is coming up. What's the dates on that?
March 21st to 23rd, and the applications
on the table. Awesome. And the application fee is $35 per person. Encounter Weekend, I just encourage you. If I could say two things to you, and if you're new in the faith, if I could encourage you to do two things, this is what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to sign up for Encounter Weekend, and I would encourage you to sign up for a Connect group. Because you need freedom and you need relationship to walk in this world that we're living in. And so and I'm getting ready to preach about finances. I didn't even touch on that. But you really just, I want to encourage everyone, sign up for Encounter Weekend. That is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We kick it off, or we end up Sunday with a celebration update. Celebration service. I saw the word update. Let me give you an update from Pastor. This week, I am supposed to be traveling around the state promoting missions for the conference. I'll be in a different area of the state each night, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Tuesday night, I'll be here. For the most part, I'll be staying in town and just going out in the afternoon and getting back late at night. I will be out of town Thursday and Friday, just so you know. Having said all that, let me give you more of a personal update. My grandmother is very close to passing away. So if that happens, then my plans to travel around the state are preempted, and I have someone to step in to take that. But I want y'all to understand that we were told Friday that she had 24 to 48 hours to live. And so we know that the time is coming soon. So I say that for your prayers, but also it's just so you know where I'm at. If you try to reach out to me and I seem like I'm a little disconnected, there's just a lot of activity happening this week. Perhaps. We'll see. She's a fighter. She's strong-willed. My other grandmother was strong-willed and a fighter. There's a little bit of stubbornness that comes down the family tree on both sides for me. Anybody else get that? No, don't elbow your husband. It's just the reality. But the Lord her home is in heaven, and we have released her and waiting on the Lord's timing for that. So I wanted you to know that before I get into the message. Tyler, come talk to us about Connect Group, sir.
I'm excited to be able to share some of the things I'm sharing today, and some of you have already gotten a sneak peek in your bulletin. But as you know, if you've been here, even if you've been in and out the last several weeks, we're starting up Connect Groups, which will take the place of and expand what we used to do with home groups. And in your bulletin this morning, we have all of the new ones listed. So that's exciting. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about each group and what opportunities lie ahead of us. I'm just going to go through, and I know you can read, so I'm not going to read all this to you. I hated it when people did that when I was in college. You know, I can read for myself. So I'm not going to do that to you this morning, but I will kind of highlight them. And I haven't told anybody that I'm going to do this, but I'm just going to spring it on them. If you are a group leader or host, when I mention your group, if you just stand, just so folks can recognize you, won't make you speak or anything like that. Not yet. I'm just going to go through the list here. First one is Faith in Frisbee. This is going to be led by the Erickson's, if y'all would stand. It's going to be every other week in Thomaston at the Old Thurston School. It's going to be Ultimate Frisbee and some time of Bible study, ages 16 to 25, so kind of getting high school, college age range there. Sorry, if you're in your 20s and or late 20s and 30s, you can't do Ultimate Frisbee unless you want to do it on your own. The next group is the Thomaston Connect Group. This will be led by Mike and Susan Irwin and hosted by myself and Molly at the park across from Ingalls and American Pie. And that'll be once a month, fourth Sunday afternoon. Barnesville Connect Group will be led by Pastor Rick and Patrice and hosted by Spencer and Davy Williams. I don't see him here this morning at Williams Funeral Home in Barnesville, and that'll be on a once-a-month basis also. Revelation Bible Study, this is being led by Mr. Bob currently at his house every Tuesday night at their house, and they're going to just continue that. We're making that part of Connect Groups. So if you're involved with that already or would like to be, you can certainly join. We have two Meansville Vega area Connect Groups. The first one is going to be led by Ben Steele, and it's going to be hosted, joint hosted by the Steeles and the Richardsons. They're going to alternate months, so that'll be once a month as well. If you'll flip over on the page, men's geocaching. This is going to be led by myself on the third Saturday morning of every month. Now, let me just tell you, if you don't even know what geocaching is, you can still come. You don't have to be an expert or do it all the time. If you want to ask me what it is, you can ask me later. We're going to do that once a month, be various locations. The Women at His Mercy Ladies Group that already meets on Thursdays will continue to do that. That'll also be a Connect group. Toy Garner is leading that. Toy's back there. Griffin Connect Group is going to be led by Wayne and Leanne Ridgeway and hosted at their home. It'll be once a month too. Is that okay? Homeschool Mom Support Group will be led by Karen Peake and hosted at their home on the third Monday night of each month. And then the second Meansville Vega Connect Group will be hosted at the Haney's house, Mr. Orvis and Miss Elaine's house, on the last Sunday night of each month. And we've got some details about leaders for that group coming soon. So those are the Connect groups for this year. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about the opportunities we have with each group. I want to just kind of give you a little bit of detail as far as the next couple of weeks. Next Sunday, we will have every group represented in the hallway with one or more of their leaders or hosts with a table, with a sign-up sheet. They'll be there for you to talk with. I encourage you to sign up for the ones you're interested in. You don't have to only sign up for one if you want to sign up for more than one. I don't recommend signing up for all 10, but you know, if you want to be involved in more than one group, you don't have to just stay with one group. Now, let me just kind of emphasize this. If you're not here next Sunday, that's okay. I don't want anybody to feel like if they miss the sign-up, then they're forever out of Connect Groups until next year. You can join a Connect Group at any point, at any time during the year. Now, we're introducing this next week. Well, I mean, this week in the bulletin, next week with the sign-up sheets. We'll probably do the same thing with sign-ups the following Sunday. But I want you to know, too, if it's middle of March or middle of April and you say, hey, I'd like to see what that group's about, well, just get with the leader or the host. You can see me if you don't know who that is. And you can certainly be involved. It's not I want to make sure that you know that it's very much open for you to join at any point in time. Also, I would like to mention, and if you look through the list and say, well, you know, I don't really see anything that fits my age group or really fits what I'm interested in. I guess two things I would say. First of all, try it out. You know, find one that does look interesting and try it out. If still after, you know, 3 or 4 months you say, you know, I really would like to start a group that is for such and such, then guess what? We'll start a group. We'll look at doing that. We want this to be a blessing to the church, so we want it to fit what people need. And if you have, you know, a group of friends or neighbors that you want to reach out to, and you don't really see that what we're doing now is going to work, well, certainly we can look at starting something new. So I just want you to know that as well. But I would encourage you to go ahead and try to get involved with one that we've already got, just to support those leaders and those hosts and to support this ministry. I've got a great deal of confidence in each leader and in each host. We've talked in great detail several different times, and I'm just excited about who God has brought to us for this season of time to be involved in this. I would like to say to all the leaders and the hosts who are in here, just a reminder about our meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. It'll be in 101, 102 in the front building. So with that said, I would encourage you to, if you want to go ahead and talk with some of these folks and say, hey, I want to join your group, then you go right ahead. We'll have the sign-ups available next week, but you can certainly talk to them this week. So just wanted to provide that information to you. We'll be out there in the hallway next Sunday for our big, I don't know what you call it, campaign. Doesn't really sound right, but, you know, we'll have everybody out there and you can talk with them in more detail then. So thank you very much.
All right. I'm excited about that. Thank you, Tyler. I am really thrilled with the creativity that I see coming out with regard to the way that you guys are just taking a hold of this and looking at alternate places rather than just your home. I think that's great. And then I just think it's great that you're also looking at different means of doing relationship. Last week, I'm going to transition here. Last week, we started a series called The Blessed Life. Again, I'll put it right out there in front of you. A lot of what I'm preaching and teaching comes or is founded in the book by the same title by Pastor Robert Morris, The Blessed Life at Gateway Church. And I also mentioned there are a lot of pastors that have just been so impacted by this teaching that they just said, you know what, we're just going to show the videos of Robert teaching. It might actually be better if I did that because you could look at Robert instead of me, but I'm going to go ahead and give it my own slant. So if you want to pick up the book, I think I've seen it at maybe Walmart or maybe it was Sam's or something, but I know you can find it at a Christian bookstore. It's a great little book, and I heard that some of you have already read it. So there you go, full disclaimer, disclosure, and everything else. So I wanted you to be aware of that. Last week we talked about the principle of the first. And essentially what we were saying is that finances relate to every area of our life. We can't get away from it. We talked about when are you most like God? When you give. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's a pretty good foundation there to come from. How we handle our finances demonstrates to God who is first in our life. And then the big idea for last week was just simply that God wants to be first. He wants to be first in our life. The three things that I preached or topics or points that I preached last week, I'm not going to go very long with this, but concerning the principle of the first, number one is the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. We talked about how Jesus redeemed us because he was the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. And the Lamb, it said in Exodus, could redeem the unclean. And so we were the unclean and Jesus redeems us. And with point number two was the first fruits must be offered, and specifically the first fruits must be offered. And then the third point was that the tithe must be first. And the reason why the tithe must be first is because the tithe has the power to bless the rest. the tithe, when you realize that the tithe belongs to God, when you realize it all belongs to God, it has the power to bless the rest of your finances. So you are actually able to, when you do so with a heart that is generous and right before God, you're not doing it to try to, to barter with God or buy God or something like that. When you understand that and your heart is right and you're tithing out of worship and obedience, that 90% actually goes further than the 100%. That's God's economy. Now, it's interesting that, you know, if you're an economy major, it doesn't make sense unless you're a believer, and then it makes sense. So, you know, if you try to put this out there over at Gordon and discuss with a person who is an economy professor, and he doesn't know Christ, then he's not going to get that. Next week, we're going to kind of, the topic's going to be money matters. And I was going to preach this message, next week's message this week, but I want to preach it next week because our children will be in the service. And what I'm going to teach and preach next week is going to be immensely practical. And I'm going to answer some of the frequently asked questions about tithing. And I decided to wait. One, because I want our children to hear it. And two, because I want the children and the parents to hear it together. And then the third reason is because actually I think this message, if you have the book and you've read it, I'm not going in order of the book. Just so you know, what I'm going to preach actually today, a lot of it comes out of about the middle of the book or so, with some addition of my own. So just so you know, if you read the book or if you've read the book, I'm not following his particular outline. I'm being your pastor, and I'm realizing that what I'm going to preach and teach today is what we need to hear built on last week. Last week we talked about the principle of the first. This week we're going to talk about the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is the heart. And then the following week we're going to look at a sermon or a title, Breaking the Spirit of Mammon. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, Luke chapter 6, Matthew 7, and Luke 6. We're going to talk about the heart of the matter today. This teaching has helped me so much. That's why I'm sharing it with you. It's just really good teaching. In fact, I didn't realize it when I set out to do this teaching, but Pastor Robert has actually taught it twice at his church, 3 years apart. And so, you know, what that tells me as a pastor is that he felt the need to go back and revisit some things. And he even expanded on some things. So that was kind of gave me a little bit of peace. There are sometimes that pastors that we have to go back and revisit things because the congregation has changed. They've matured or the people have changed. So Matthew chapter 7, when you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Matthew 7, let's look at verse 1. We're going to look at a couple of verses. Here you go. It says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, if I were to ask you to give me one word, what do you think the topic of these two verses is?
Judgment.
Do we all agree on that? All right. We're clear. No evidence of money in this passage. Now, let's go to Luke 6. Specifically verse 37 and 38. When you're there, say, I'm there. Luke 6, 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Now go to the end of verse 38 and look at the very last sentence. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now is that pretty much the same thing that Matthew wrote? Okay, but Matthew and Luke are two different guys. And we know that Luke was a doctor. So we know that people in the medical profession, they are a little more detailed, right? So he gives a little bit more of an expanded version. Matthew, by the way, was just a fisherman. He just kind of liked to bottom line it. You got any fishermen in here? Yeah. But when you go fishing, you don't necessarily like to talk, right? You're there to fish. So you say as little as possible, right? That's what Matthew was doing. He was saying as little as possible. Luke, on the other hand, decided to add a little bit because he heard the master Jesus say something in addition to the judge part. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give. That's a good word. And it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, what was the topic of Matthew 7? What was the one word? Judgment. And Luke doesn't necessarily deviate from that, but he adds to it. Actually, it's quite interesting what he does here. Because on the first two, that judge not, and you shall not be judged, and condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. I'm going to make all of the English language teachers and those of you who are literature, don't shake your head, baby. I have full confidence in me. No, I've got it right here in my notes. It'll be okay. Watch this. I'm about to wow my wife. Watch this. Y'all sit back. Both the do not judge and the do not condemn are, you get this, present active imperatives with a negative participle. That's good stuff, isn't it? Did I get it right? Just give me five anyways.
It sounds good.
Basically, what that means, a present active participle with a negative, present active imperative means is that they were already doing it. So in other words, Jesus looks at them and he says, hey, you stop judging. Hey, you stop condemning. That's what that means. And then, of course, the negative participle means the do not. Okay. If it didn't have the negative participle, then it would be do judge or do condemn. But he's saying, I see what you're doing and I want you to stop. Stop what you're doing. I see it already. So what is the topic of Luke 6? It's the same context. It's judging. It's judging. And then he goes on in verse 38 and he says, give. And it will be given to you. Now, give is the verb, which we know is the... y'all didn't know you were getting a grammar lesson today, did you? Watch this. You just thought I wowed her before? Here we go. Give is the verb, and that's the action. We know the action verbs mean action, right? Thank you, sir. One person did. Give is the verb... Well, who's the subject of the verb? You. But it doesn't say you up there, does it? So I heard the word. Say it loud. It's implied. It's understood. Thank you. So you give is what that says without saying the word you. Give, you give, and it. It? What it? What's an it? It. Here we go. I got to get to my notes because I'll mess it up. It is an objective pronoun. In other words, it receives the action of the verb. Oh. Now, what's this mean? Why are you preaching English Composition 101, Rick? Because it says, give and it will be given to you. In other words, give and what you give will be given back to you. Now, with that in mind, let's think about this verse. Judge not. Oh, wait a second. You mean that if I give judgment? Ain't nobody preaching that, are they? You'll get judgment back. You mean it? Okay. Condemn not. You mean if I condemn, then what do I get back? Condemnation. Now here's the beauty of that passage. If I forgive, what do I get back? Forgiveness. You can't really give forgiveness without the word give in it. Otherwise, it's just four. And you're playing golf. Cheesy preacher joke, right? Forgive. give is intrinsic in the word. You've got to give to forgive. And so Jesus is helping us to understand that what you give, whatever you're going to give, you're going to get more back. And then he goes and he starts using language that they would understand. Agricultural language. Now, I happen to know that we have some farmers in here. And so I'm not going to try to impress y'all. I'm just going to stick with my notes because I would mess it up. But he says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. What does that mean? That means like, does that mean like a second helping? See, he's using language that the Hebrew culture would understand. And you can find this, Ruth as an example. You can find this where there were two types of people in agricultural. If there's a field of wheat, or we'll help Boyette feel good. Let's just say there's a field of tomatoes. Is that good? Let's just say we got a field of tomatoes. Then what, in you and I were working the tomato fields, okay? You wouldn't work. Never mind. We'll get somebody else to work the field because he would never come out. So Boyette is working the field with me, or somebody's working the field with me, and we work. We are hired. We're supposed to work. You know what? We just live down the block. We report to work. They send us out in the field. I remember Mr. John telling me about picking cotton as a child. He quickly learned, I don't want to do that for a living. And so you would go out, because why? Because you live right there near the field. You'd go out and you'd harvest it and you'd bring it in. But the Old Testament custom was, according to the Old Testament, was you would leave like the corners untouched. And in fact, if I were to have this container and I fill it up and I bring it back, here's my harvest, I go and I dump it out, then I just go back and I get some more. That's what the harvester would do. But the poor person was poor. And they had to walk a ways to get to that field. So when they got to that field, because they had walked a ways, they filled it up and they pressed it down. They put some more in it and they pressed it down. Good measure. Pressed down. Shake it all together, get it all good and flat. Press it down. Put some more in it. Why? Because I got to go back home and it's a really long walk. And I need to take as much of this to my family as I can. So Jesus is teaching us here that what we give, we will be given back, and it's going to be a good measure. It's going to be pressed down. It's going to be mounded up again and shaken together, filled up to the top so that it's overflowing. So if we give judgment, we can expect a good measure pressed down. I heard somebody go, and say, uh-oh. If we give condemnation, that's why our words are so important. I appreciated what Ben said, because we need to speak life. Speak life, not condemnation, because when we speak condemnation, we get it back. A good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Uh-oh. Bottom line is this. Whatever you give, you're going to get more back in God's economy. So Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That's a really great verse. Or it's a really bad verse. It depends on what you give. Right? Many pastors will teach this verse, that give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down. they teach that verse or they use that verse as the motive for giving. And I want to help us, and I want to teach for a minute and say that's not the motive of giving. That's not the heart of giving. The heart of giving is that you give so that you can give. You don't give so that you can get. You give so that you can give. Don't you think that we're already selfish enough? Can you imagine with me? God the Father. Yes, they put $20 in this week. I knew. They only put $5 last week. They're giving. I'm going to give them $30. That's not God the Father. Because ultimately, who owns everything? And it's when we deviate from that that we're a dangerous place. Let me make a shocking statement. You ready? God does not bless giving. God blesses giving with the right heart. The heart of the matter. We don't give so that we can get more stuff. We're already consumed with stuff. How many of y'all got up at 3 a.m. on Black Friday? Come on now. I would have, honest, we love to do our shopping so that we can give to family on Black Friday. God blesses the giving with the right heart. Turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 15. We're going to read a rather long passage, and then I'm going to pull some principles out of it, and we'll land this plane quickly. I want to tell you, I'm going to give you four things here in just a moment, and there's going to be an altar call at the end. And I really just want to ask you, as much as I can, I want to urge you and plead with you as your pastor to find, ask the Holy Spirit. I'm preparing you. That's what I'm doing. I don't want any kind of manipulation at the end. So I want to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to prepare you for where are you in one of these four places. And there's no judgment, okay? So we're going to look at these four things, and we're all going to be in different places, all right? And that's okay. But Deuteronomy 15, beginning with verse 1. We're going to go through verse 15. And this is from the New Living Translation, so it might be a little different than yours, but just for the sake of a fresh look at this scripture. At the end of every seventh year, you must cancel the debts of everyone who owes you money. If you ever want to run for political office, it's probably a good platform right here. Just kidding. This is how it must be done. Everyone must cancel the loans they have made to their fellow Israelites. They must not demand payment from their neighbors or relatives, for the Lord's time of release has arrived, or year of release, it may say. This release from debt, however, applies only to your fellow Israelites, not to foreigners living among you. There should be no poor among you, for the Lord your God will greatly bless you in the land he is giving you as a special possession. You will receive this blessing if you are careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God that I am going to give you today. The Lord your God will bless you as he has promised. You will lend money to many nations, but will never need to borrow. You will rule many nations, but they will not rule over you. Verse 7. But if there are any poor Israelites, and again, a focus on the poor, in your towns, when you arrive in the land of the Lord your God is giving you, do not be half-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year for... this. Careful now. Listen to this. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year for canceling debts is close at hand. If you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. Give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor. This is why I am commanding you to share freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need. If a fellow Hebrew sells himself or herself to be your servant and serves you for 6 years, in the seventh year, you must set that servant free. And when you release a male servant, do not send him away empty-handed. Give him a generous farewell gift from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Share with him some of the bounty with which the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember, everybody say remember.
Remember.
It's a good word. Remember that you were once slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I am giving you this command. I'm going to go back and look at verses 7 and 8 real quick. Let me move quickly through this. He says, and this is from a different translation, he says, if there's any among you who are poor, any poor man of, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates of your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your hearts, you shall nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. First thing that we have to deal with is a selfish heart. Deal with a selfish heart. The selfish heart tells us we won't have enough or God won't come through. That's not a faithful heart, that's a selfish heart. What are the characteristics that we see in Scripture right here that point to a selfish heart? One, hard-heartedness. In other words, defying the plan of God. Think about Pharaoh. Multiple miraculous acts, still won't let God's people go. Hard heart. Two, self-centered. Consumed with myself. Proverbs 18:1 says, an unfriendly person pursues selfish ends. And against all sound judgment, he starts quarrels. The third thing is tight-fisted, being stingy, not being generous with what God has blessed you, but hanging on to it tightly. Now, here's the thing. As I was looking through this passage, it's interesting to me that the Lord doesn't allow there to be a wall between the poor and those who have, the ones that the Lord has blessed. In fact, there's very good language here. He says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates in which the land the Lord your God is giving you. So in other words, you and I are not allowed to put up a wall and say, well, those poor people. We're not allowed to do that. They're our brethren. Particularly when they are in the body of Christ. Self-centered, hard-hearted, tight-fisted. 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has material possessions and he sees a brother or a sister in need, but he has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? That just hits me squarely between the eyes. I think about, Lord, you've blessed me so much. And if there are needs among us, I have no right to withhold when I can bless. In verse 9, I read it. It says, beware lest there be any wicked thought in your heart when you start thinking about the seventh year. Every 7 years, the debts were canceled. It was a year of release. And God is saying, when someone comes to you with a need, don't even think about the year of release. Don't even hold that in. In other words, he actually says, beware lest there be any or be a wicked thought in your heart. Matter of the heart of the matter. If I'm thinking, well, I'm going to loan this person the money, I may never get it back. I may never get it back. We're so selfish. What's the first word that a child learns? All right. All of you who think the word is mine, put your hand up. Okay, I'm going to correct you lovingly. The first word a child learns is wah. That's translated, feed me, change me, hold me, pacify me, something. Okay, you're fair enough. You were right. The first real word they learn is mine. We're like that. Men are like that. I'm like that. Like, we go to Chick-fil-A and we're getting a milkshake. I want my milkshake. Patrice will be like, no, we'll just share. I'm like, no. You get yours. I get mine. It's true. Here's the bottom line. When you're dealing with a selfish heart in this first point, until we understand that selfish is always our default, we will always struggle with the grace of giving. Remember that passage I started with regard to the offering, 2 Corinthians? Paul talked about the grace of giving. Until we understand that my default is always selfish, that's why it's important to have my mind renewed, my heart renewed. I don't have to live there. It's my default. Why? Because of sin nature. And so I've got to press through that and walk in the Spirit. The second point is this. Deal with a grieving heart. People grieve over money more than just about anything. Look at verse 10 with me. It says, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you. Scripture says, don't grieve, because he wants to bless you. He's going to bless you in all of your works and in all that you do, all that you put your hand to. Understand, he doesn't bless you by sitting on, you can fill in the rest. It says, I will bless you in everything that you put your hand to. Everybody say, here's, you know, a lot of times when we grieve money, because here's the deal. When we give, here's how the scenario plays out a lot of times. We give, and like we, you know, that missionary was really compelling, and I just feel like I need to give him $100 in this offering. I remember the first time we gave $100. It was a big deal. And for some of you, it may still be a big deal. That's okay. We're at different levels we're walking in obedience to. And it's like right after that happens, you know, and maybe the Lord wants you to, he wants you to like start supporting them monthly. Inevitably, like that week, the car breaks down. Right? And you're like, man, it's going to cost $89 to get the car fixed, and I put $100 in the offering plate. And then we begin to grieve that gift. You know what? Random thought. We're going out to lunch today, and I'm not sure that I have enough money to be able to pay for lunch. So, Wow. I'm going to try this more often. 20, 40, 60, 80, $100. Thanks, Johnny. We're going to eat good today, baby. But it happens, doesn't it? We give, and then inevitably, we begin to grieve over that. We're like, man, I wish I hadn't put that much money in the offering plate, or I wish I hadn't made that pledge, because now things are tight. Scripture says, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved. Who's our source? And when he gives to us, we shouldn't allow it to grieve us when he says, I want you to give back or give away. Now, Johnny was pretty quick to get up and bring me $100, and that's pretty awesome. It didn't even seem like it hurt him at all. I'm not sure what Karen's thinking right now. You know what? It didn't hurt Johnny to give me $100. You know why? Because I gave it to him before the service. And I told him to give it to me at that point in time. I said, Johnny, right then I want you to come up and hand me that. He did well. He got all his lines right and everything. Just a little fun. Here's the deal. You know why it didn't hurt him? Because it didn't belong to him. You see it? It didn't hurt him because it didn't belong to him. Let that marinate for a moment in your mind. When we get to the point where we understand, I don't really own anything. Really, I'm just a steward. I'm just a steward. I don't own my car. I don't own this iPad. We're just stewards. The bottom line is this. Until the revelation that we are only stewards is in our heart, we will always grieve and mourn when it comes to giving. We will always grieve until we understand we're not owners, we're stewards. Third point is this, verse 14 in Deuteronomy. You shall develop a generous heart. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your wine press. He's talking about the servants. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You shall supply liberally. And that word means generous. Means to lavish it on someone. We've experienced that before. When we, you know, in full transparency, some of you know this, and I don't have a problem sharing it, but when we felt the Lord calling us to Mountain Gap and through that process, and when I, you know, resigned from the conference, the conference executive council, they blessed us. The van that I drive now was the one, it was a company van. And they blessed us with that. And it was at a really pivotal time because we needed it. Because we only had one vehicle because I had a conference job and a vehicle. And so they lavished. And I just appreciate that. And the Lord wants us to move from being takers and manipulators to generous givers. He wants us to develop a generous heart. Matthew 6:21, I quoted it last week. I'll just hit it real quickly. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Keep in mind that your heart follows your treasure. If you've heard somebody preach this and they say, "Your where your heart is, your treasure will follow," that's misquoting Scripture. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you want your heart to be in the kingdom, if you want your treasure to be in the kingdom in the church, or your heart to be in the kingdom in the church, put your treasure there. Okay, let's make it immensely practical. If I want my wife to know that I love her, then I'll put some treasure there. Maybe that's a little too practical. I'll put some treasure there. So that my heart goes there also. So where do you put your treasure? Where is your treasure? Something to think about. The bottom line is this. Just like we make time for what's important, we also make provision for what's a priority. And so if you're at a point and you're saying, Pastor Rick, okay, you don't know what my financial situation looks like. And I understand, folks, I get it. We've been there. And we still have times where we're still there, y'all. But there's something that we're not going to deviate from. We're not going to deviate from the tithe and our offerings. I was talking with someone last week after the service. And they were just saying, you know, well, I just would really love to see God bless me with an amazing abundance. But then I get kind of this heart check by the Holy Spirit, and it makes me realize, wait a second, I have been faithful. And this was someone who has been very faithful for many years. I have been faithful, and I can't imagine where I would be if I were not. That's a good perspective to have. So just like we make time for what's important, our kids, our family, your job, we'll make a provision for what's a priority. The fourth thing is this, and remember, I ask you to think about, where are you? Are you dealing with a self or a grieving heart? Are you dealing with, what was the first one I said? That's not right. Dealing with a selfish heart. I thought it started with G. Are you dealing with a selfish heart, a grieving heart, a generous heart, or are you dealing with a grateful heart? The last passage in Deuteronomy 15, verse 15, it says this, "You shall remember." That's why I had you say that word, remember. Say it for me again. Remember. Remember. "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt." That's where I was. "And the Lord your God redeemed you." Every day, we ought to have this moment where we stop and we just have a remembering moment. I remember where I was, and I know where I am. We demonstrate our love for God through our giving. Here's the bottom line for this one. Gratefulness is cultivated. Cultivated. Think about that. Gratefulness is cultivated in the recognition of God's great work in our life. And it's demonstrated in our great work, in our work, in the lives of others. Gratefulness grows up. It wells up within me when I think about how lost I was. When I think about, folks, I'm just, you know some of my story. When I think about being lost, trying to find peace and purpose in life, that was me. And you know some of that story. You know, there's no glory in that. A lot of that was probably coming out of places of rejection as a child in a lot of different ways. So there was always this striving to be accepted, to be loved, to have purpose. Some of us go through that still. Until we come to the place where we understand that we're sons and we're daughters. My daughter, my son, they don't have to do anything. I'm going to love them regardless more every day. Sometimes I want them to clean their room. And they do. But they don't have to do that to earn my love. They are loved regardless. So a question for you. Talking about the heart of the matter. Karen, can you come up and play softly? Two questions for you. Do you get more excited about getting, or do you get more excited about giving? What fires you up? That's a really good set of questions for the purposes of evaluating our heart. Am I more fired up because I get, or am I fired up because I get to give? It's four things that I want to ask you to think about. If I could get Bob, if you have some folks that could come together and be on each side and pray. Make some room up here. I just really believe that this message is important for us as a church. Because it goes to one of the core values that I believe the Lord wants us to walk in, and that is generosity. And generosity is demonstrated in finances. Yes, we can't deny that. We know that, okay? But generosity is also demonstrated in a lot of other ways. And when Tyler was finished, I'm so thrilled with the number of connect groups that we have and the creativity of the connect groups. Because what I see in that is a demonstration of generosity. I see it. I see people being generous with their time and with their home. People who are, I'm going to be honest, well, I'm always going to be honest, but I just think that it's really important, you know, when I'm counseling with people, one of my main focuses from here out is, are you in a connect group? Because you need relationship. That doesn't mean I'm not going to meet with you, but it's going to be a question I ask. Because when you're in connect group and when you're in relationship with others, you're not isolated and alone. And we need that. We need that network. So I'm thankful for connect groups because I see generosity happening. But I want to ask you this morning, where do you fall in that spectrum? And let me talk to the praying people. Let me talk to y'all for a second. I want you to stick to this. That's all we're going to pray for this morning. We're going to pray for these four things. All right? And if somebody wants to come up and say, I have a grieving heart when I give. No judgment. Pray. Take them to the Father. If they come up and they say, I want a more grateful heart. Or I want a more generous heart. Pray. Not counseling. Not judging. Just pray. Because this is the heart of the matter when it comes to giving. When are you most like God? When you give. When you and I give, that's when. I want to ask you to stand for a moment because it'll make it a little easier. I just have a real high expectation this morning. I'm just going to say it. There are a lot of people that need to come up here and be prayed for. All right? So in a moment, I'm going to pray. When I say amen, I want you just to move out of your seat and come. I don't have to beg you and plead. Because I know, one of these four hits us all somewhere between the eyes. Am I the only one that thinks that? I don't think so. Some of us are selfish. Some of us grieve. Some of us just want to be more generous. And some of us just want to be more grateful. And that's okay wherever you are. I'm on three. That's where I'm at. I want to be more generous. So bow your heads with me when I say amen. Let's move out and let's pray quickly. Prayer team, let's pray quickly with folks. Father, we thank you that this morning you are the ultimate giver. And you gave and you gave and you gave even when we didn't know you or love you. Scripture tells us that you loved us before we were or while we were still sinners. And yet you still gave. You gave your son to redeem us. Jesus died for us on the cross so that we could have eternal life, life more abundantly. And so, Father, this morning I know that we're somewhere in these four. We're either dealing with a selfish heart or a grieving heart, or we need to develop generosity or gratefulness. So, Lord, I ask you just now by your Spirit to give us the courage and boldness, Lord, to step out and to pray and to be prayed for and to walk in the reality of what you're calling us to. Lord, I don't want to stay the same. At the end of this day, at the end of this week, at the end of this month, I don't want Rick to be rigged like he was last month. I want to be more like Christ, reflecting more of his love, more of his generosity, his peace, his patience, his heart. So Father, I just pray that your Spirit would deal with us at the heart of the matter this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. You guys begin to move out. Karen, if you can't get to somewhere where you sing. Come on, folks. Some of you need to come.
With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Because of what
If you know this song, go ahead and sing it with her. Let's sing it all together. With a grateful heart. Just a reminder that if you want to sign up for the Encounter Weekend, the registration forms are out there. James, I want to ask you if you would you come and close us out in prayer this morning? And you're dismissed following this prayer. Go in God's blessing and go in His generosity and go in His heart this week. And look for the opportunities where God is going to intersect your life. And you're going to have an opportunity to demonstrate the heart of the Father and the heart of the matter that we talked about this morning. Amen.
Father, we're thankful this morning for the opportunity we've had to be in your house to worship. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your instruction. Pray that we'll go away from this place, taking to heart the truths we've heard. Pray your blessings upon each one as they go from here, we pray. And keep us, we pray, until we meet again. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.